Amen. This evening, we're continuing a series that I've titled Lessons from Lockdown. And as we take some time to focus on the prison epistles of Paul, it's my hope that Paul's point of view that he had while he was there in prison, I hope that this point of view will help us to maintain a proper perspective as we continue to pray for the end of this pandemic. You know, we started this study last week with a few lessons that are found in Paul's epistle to the church in Ephesus. Now, here in this second study, I want to consider a few more lockdown lessons that Paul presented from the letter that he penned to the church in Philippi. And so with this as the focus, if you would, let's open our Bibles down to the first chapter of Philippians. And as you make your way to Philippians chapter 1, I should take a moment to remind you that Paul first visited Philippi during his second missionary journey. And it was during his time in Philippi when Paul ended up being thrown into prison. And the reason why is because he had been preaching the gospel of grace. And so he's thrown into prison, and a Philippian jailer, who was tasked with the responsibility of keeping him in chains, he ends up placing his faith in Jesus Christ after witnessing an earthquake, which actually freed Paul from his chains. And while he thought that all the prisoners had escaped and he was ready to kill himself for failing at his job, he ends up coming to Christ after realizing that Paul's still there and all the prisoners were still there. And this kind of became the foundations of the church here in Philippi. The Lord allowed Paul to suffer imprisonment there in Philippi so that the Christian fellowship of Philippi could be established according to the confirmation of the gospel. You see, the gospel message was confirmed through this episode that Paul experienced with the earthquake and then the jailer coming to the Lord. And with all this being the case, Paul now wants the Philippian Christians to realize that the Lord was also going to use his Roman incarceration to further establish the first century church there in Rome, much like he had there in Philippi. And so with all of this in mind, let's consider the encouragement that Paul presents here in the beginning of this book. And so look with me here at Philippians chapter 1. I want to begin reading there at verse 1, because here Paul declares, "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace." Now, here in the beginning of this book, we find Paul. He's encouraging the Christians there at the church in Philippi. He's encouraging them by reminding them that they had a special place in his heart. He's in prison, and yet he's concerned about how the believers there in Philippi are doing. And the reason why is because they had a very special place in his heart. And the reason for this, well, it's due to the fact that their fellowship of faith was directly connected to the incarceration that Paul already suffered while he was there in Philippi. They knew that he had been in prison. They were there to witness all of those things happening. And think about that for a moment. Some of those saints there in Philippi had been there at the time of Paul's arrest. They watched him being hauled off. They had been there and heard the defense of the gospel message before he was thrown into the Philippian prison. And not only that, but they had also heard about the confirmation of Paul's preaching, which occurred on that night when the earthquake released him from his chains. We can also be certain that the jailer who had received the gospel of grace on the night of that miracle was there, and he was a constant reminder that the gospel of grace there in Philippi had been powerfully confirmed there in that prison. In this way, we can see then how the Lord used Paul's imprisonment right there in Philippi as a way to establish the Christian church with power and with glory. And so the church there in this area of Greece had been established through Paul's imprisonment. Well, here we are. It's 13 years after the church in Philippi was established. Paul again finds himself incarcerated. He's sitting there in chains there in Rome, And as he's sitting there in chains, he's remembering his time in Philippi. And he was encouraged as he remembers the relationships that he developed there in Philippi. He's encouraged as he remembers how the Lord had used his Philippian imprisonment as a catalyst for confirming the truth of the gospel for the people there in Greece. And as he began to put pen to papyrus, Paul set out to assure his friends there in Philippi. He set out to assure them that the Lord was going to accomplish the same thing right there in Rome that he had accomplished back in Philippi. And in light of this encouragement, it seems to me here that Paul was presenting us with a lockdown lesson, which is all about the importance of maintaining a proper perspective. You see, Paul could have been there imprisoned in Rome, and he could have been all, you know, my life is over, you know, my ministry is done, there's no hope for me now, I mean, what's left for me except to just sit here and rot away in prison? And that could have been his perspective, but it wasn't. That wasn't his perspective at all. No, instead of focusing on what's wrong with his situation, he was remembering back to what was right. He remembers back to what happened in Philippi and how God used his imprisonment there in Philippi to birth a church which was still thriving at the point in time of his Roman incarceration. And this encouraged him to realize that God was going to use him right there in Rome in the same way that he had used him back in Philippi. In this way, Paul takes a moment to consider the past so that he can look forward to the future. And in this way, we see how he maintains a proper perspective by getting his focus off of the current situation and focusing on the future. And therefore, a proper perspective is all about looking forward to what God is going to do. Now, this is not to suggest that it's wrong to enjoy Throwback Thursday. You know, if you like to go back into your photo album and you like to remember what happened in the past and these sorts of things, there's nothing really wrong with that. And yet, I do believe that those who want to maintain mental health during this time of lockdown, we ought to be focusing our faith. And the best way to focus our faith is to look forward to the prophetic promises of God. And with this as the goal, I want to continue to consider the perspective that Paul was promoting here in this epistle. If you would look with me here at Philippians chapter 1, I want to draw your attention back to verse 3. Here again, Paul declares, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." He's remembering them. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing." What is he confident in? "That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Here in these verses, we find Paul, he's encouraging the Christians there in Philippi to focus their faith on the future. And while this is not to suggest that it's a sin to man deal with the issues before us today, it's not wrong for us to focus on the problems in front of us right now. And yet, it's crucial for Christians to remember that those who are always fearful of today and worrying about tomorrow, they're actually failing to enjoy the confidence that we can have as we simply walk by faith in Jesus Christ. In order to explain what I mean by this, let's look again there at verse 6. There again, Paul declares that he was confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Rather than worrying about his imprisonment, rather than wondering when he might be released, rather than fearfully worrying about whether he's going to be executed or what's going to happen to him, Paul didn't focus on any of those things. No, instead, Paul was a Christian who was simply confident about the future. And he was confident of this very thing, that the Lord Jesus was going to accomplish his will. He was certain that the Lord Jesus was going to accomplish his perfect will, and so he wasn't concerned about tomorrow. In similar fashion, we too can become those believers who have complete confidence in Christ. And yes, even during these times of uncertainty. You might be wondering, when will this pandemic pass? You might be worried about the possibility of a second wave that could be coming next fall. It's possible that you might be stressed out about your child's education and when are they going to get to go back to school, or you might be worried about your job and whether you're going to, have a paycheck next month, or maybe you're filled with fear because you can't imagine that life will ever return to normal. So many people talking about, well, what's going to be the new normal and how are we going to live in the future and we'll never be able to shake hands again. And So many fears, so many things that can just fill our minds with fear. It's possible that you're overwhelmed with worry, and I have no doubt that many of us are filled with fears about the future, even right now. And if this sounds like your current condition, I would encourage you to learn this lockdown lesson from Paul. This lockdown lesson, it helps us to remember that he who began a good work in us will, without a doubt, complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does the future hold for the Christian? A completed work. A Savior who accomplishes his perfect will. Rather than focusing on our fears, rather than worrying about the unknown variables, we ought to become confident Christians who are walking by faith every day with our Savior. In order to further grasp the confidence that comes from a proper perspective, let's turn our attention now back to this epistle. If you would look with me again at Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to pick up our study beginning at verse 12. Here Paul declares, "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Here in these verses, we find Paul, he's presenting the Christians there in Philippi with a proper perspective of his Roman incarceration. And just like in his letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul once again revealed that his imprisonment, well, it was according to the will of God. Therefore, rather than complaining about his incarceration, he rather rejoiced in knowing that his chains were in Christ, and it had become a witness to even the whole palace guard. All the guards, all of the jailers who were tasked with the responsibility of maintaining his imprisonment, they knew what his point of view was. They fully grasped his perspective. Why? Well, because he shared it with them. Not only that, but he also realized that his imprisonment was actually turning out for the furtherance of the gospel. And one reason why is due to the fact that many believers were becoming more and more confident in Christ as they watched Paul and how he continued to serve the Lord even during the days of his lockdown. As they heard the stories about how Paul was reaching even the jailers there in the palace, as he continued to reach out to the temple guard or the guards there in Rome. You know, the other brethren started hearing these stories and started realizing, hey, we can do this too. We can get out there and share Christ without fear of imprisonment, because even if we get thrown into prison, we're going to be able to accomplish the will of God there as well. It's important to realize that Paul was able to rejoice during the days of his lockdown as he considered the way in which his incarceration was facilitating the furtherance of the gospel there in the first century. Therefore, his perspective wasn't focused on the fears of imprisonment. He wasn't focusing on what might happen if he shares the gospel with that guard. No, instead, he was focused on the good news that people were continuing to come to Christ because the rest of the brethren were becoming more confident as they saw how Paul was handling his imprisonment. In similar fashion, we too should be able to see the silver lining on our current situation. We have to realize that there's many people who are coming to Christ as we're ordered to shelter in place. You know, according to one recent report, millions of people around the world who are currently living under lockdown are now seeking answers online in order to deal with the fears of this virus. Many people are starting to seek answers. Many people are starting to ask the big questions. What's going to happen if I die? You know, where am I going to go? And what are the answers to the big questions? And as a result, there are many who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ because they ended up in their search connecting with a Christian evangelist online or maybe through a local church. And there's all these people who are coming to Christ right now simply because of this pandemic. And simply because they're under lockdown, they're having to sit at home, and they're having to wrestle with questions that they haven't wrestled with because their life has been so busy. This is a good thing, and don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, because I certainly don't mean to suggest that we should celebrate this pandemic. That's not my point. My heart breaks for those who are sick. My heart breaks especially for the families who have lost loved ones. I don't celebrate any of that, and yet at the same time, we can take comfort in knowing that this global lockdown has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, and in that we can rejoice. Rather than focusing on the daily difficulties that are impacting our lives, let's instead remember that the Lord is actually using this time of lockdown for the sake of those who desperately need Jesus. Rather than making this all about us and woe is me and look what I have to put up with, let's pray for the lost right now. Let's pray that they might reach out to a believer who knows the Bible, that the unbelievers around us might even reach out to us so that we can take this time to lead them to Jesus. Now, in order to further grasp the lockdown perspective that Paul had while he was there in Rome, I want to turn our attention back to this book of Philippians. If you would, let's look again there at Philippians chapter 1. I want to pick up our study beginning at verse 18, because here Paul asks, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Here in these verses, we find Paul, he's continuing to rejoice over the way that the Lord was using this lockdown. And while it's true that the Christians there in Philippi were praying for his release, and as well they should have been, Paul, though, presents them with a proper perspective by helping them to understand that he was committed to Christ no matter the method of his deliverance. Paul knew that this was all going to turn out for his deliverance, but that's not necessarily to say that he believed that he would be delivered from prison. In other words, if the Lord saw fit to free Paul from prison, Paul was determined to continue magnifying the name of the Lord in his freedom. And if the Lord allowed him to suffer incarceration until the day he died, Paul was still determined to spend the rest of his life there in Rome magnifying our Messiah in his chains. So regardless of whether he was delivered from prison here in this world or whether that deliverance was just straight into the presence of God through death, Paul was determined to magnify the Messiah through his life. In light of his example, I encourage every Christian, let's embrace Paul's perspective. And with this as the goal, we should take a moment to ask, am I completely committed to the magnification of our Messiah? Now, before you rush to answer this question, I'd like to restate the question in another way. We might ask the question in this way. Am I committed to the magnification of our Messiah even if the lockdown continues for the rest of the year? Is that too much? Am I committed to the magnification of our Messiah even if the lockdown continues for a few years? Is that going to keep us from magnifying our Messiah? Or what if you discover that you actually have the coronavirus and that you're dying right now? Are you still committed to the magnification of our Messiah? What would you struggle to magnify the Messiah if the Lord was withholding his healing touch from you? Would you still be committed to magnifying our Messiah in your body, regardless of whether you're living or dying? If that's something that you're wrestling with, I encourage you to embrace the perspective that Paul presented here in this epistle. And with this as the goal, let's look again there in the middle of verse 20. Here again, Paul declares, "With all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, I don't believe that Paul was suicidal, and I don't think that he was hastening the day of his death, but I can be certain here that Paul would have been more than happy to leave his place there in Rome and enter straight into the presence of our Savior. And listen, those who have a proper perspective on pain and suffering, we will begin to realize that we've been called to magnify our Messiah regardless of the circumstances. And listen, pain and suffering only helps us to remember that we have something better waiting for us in eternity future. It's important for us to realize that those who are determined to magnify our Messiah in the midst of even our trials and our troubles, we're going to end up becoming an example for other believers as we worship and glorify our God, even when we're suffering with sickness. In order to prove my point, I want to consider another example that Paul points to here in the book of Philippians. And with this as our focus, let's jump forward a chapter to Philippians chapter 2. I want to draw your attention there to Philippians 2 verse 25, where Paul declares, "I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." Now here in these verses we find Paul, he's commending a Christian named Epaphroditus, and the reason why, well, it was due to the fact that this guy was willing to suffer sickness, and even to the point of death, simply because he wanted to continue serving his Savior. Rather than going and maybe getting the medication that he needed, or maybe taking a break and chilling out for a season, he wanted to just keep going and going and going. And he got sick and he almost died, simply because he just didn't want to stop serving his Savior. Now, don't get me wrong, because I don't mean to suggest that we should be looking for opportunities to put our lives at risk. And I certainly am all for medication and taking care of ourselves and being healthy. I value all of that. And yet at the same time, it's also important for us to understand that the Christian who would be willing to disobey the Lord for the sake of their own safety, well, they're allowing the fear of death to keep them from fostering a faith-based perspective. I want to remind you that we serve a Savior who stopped the mouths of lions. He toppled the walls of Jericho. We trust in the true and living Lord who calmed the storm and raised Lazarus from the grave. And while I realize that the valley of the shadow of death is a fearful place for us to walk, we must remember that the Lord Jesus is our good shepherd, and he has promised to lead us through that valley until we reach the greener pastures of everlasting pleasure. And therefore, we shouldn't fear death as we set out to serve our Savior. And we certainly shouldn't use personal safety as an excuse to disobey the Lord. With that being the case, I encourage every Christian, let's embrace the perspective that Paul here was promoting as he commended the steadfast faith of Epaphroditus, who realized that the best way for us to live our lives for Christ is to become those believers who are even willing to die for the sake of serving our Savior. Now, with this as the goal, let's continue to consider the perspective that Paul was promoting as he penned this lockdown epistle. And so, if you would, let's flip forward to Philippians chapter 3. I want to pick up our study beginning at verse 7. Here in Philippians 3, verse 7, Paul declares, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Now, as we consider these verses, I want to remind you that Paul here, he's writing this epistle during the days of his Roman lockdown. I know I've already pointed that out, but it's important to remember where he's at when he's writing this. It's also important to understand that this was 30 years after having, you know, a high position in Israel. You see, it was 30 years earlier from the point in time this letter is being written, when Paul was the up-and-coming Pharisee who was well on his way to replacing the preeminent rabbi whose name was Gamaliel. And so within this time span of 30 years going from the up-and-coming Pharisee who is well on his way to becoming the greatest rabbi ever, until this point in time that he's in a Roman prison, Paul went from a position of prestige to a Roman prison within 30 years. You would think that a person sitting in prison like that would be looking back over their life saying, where did I go wrong? What happened? I was well on my way to becoming the hottest rabbi in Israel, and here I am in this Roman prison. What did I do wrong? But that's not his perspective. That wasn't his lockdown perspective. As a matter of fact, let's consider again what Paul writes here in verse 8. Here again he declares, I count all things lost for what? For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I like the way that the scholars who gave us the New Living Translation render verse 8, they put it like this. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. With even more clarity, the scholars who created the Christian Standard Bible, they render verse 8 in this way. I also considered everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ. Amazing. Everything that he had worked so hard for at the point in time that he was the up-and-coming Pharisee, all the prestige, all the power, all the wealth, everything that he had acquired up until that point in time, he was ready to just give it all away and count it as dung, just so that he could know Jesus. Paul was willing to lose everything for the sake of his Savior Jesus. And as we consider the perspective that led Paul to make Jesus the priority of his life, it's my prayer that this pandemic will help us to embrace the same perspective and maintain the same priorities. Think back for a moment, back to January, or even, you know, early February. What was the primary priority of your life before we were ordered to shelter in place and before we realized that there's a virus that could take our lives? What was your mindset back in January? What was your mindset back in early February? Was the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord your primary priority? Or was it something else? What about now? What about tonight? Are you willing to count all things loss for the sake of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit better? If not, then it's my prayer that this lockdown will help you to reprioritize your life so that we might become those believers who share the perspective of Paul in realizing that all the earthly things that we can acquire is nothing but dung in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. With this as the perspective, I want to continue to consider the perspective that Paul was promoting here in the book of Philippians. If you would, let's continue to look here at Philippians chapter 3. I want to pick up our study beginning at verse 12. Here Paul declares, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Here in these verses, we find Paul encouraging the Christians there in Philippi to share his perspective. And the way we do this is by fixing our focus on the finish line of faith. That's what we need to do. If you want to have a proper perspective, fix your focus on the finish line of faith. Rather than dwelling on the things of the past, rather than focusing on the fears of what might happen today or what could potentially happen tomorrow, let's instead embrace the lockdown perspective that Paul was presenting here. And we do this by pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. With this as the goal, I want to continue to consider the point that Paul goes on to make here in Philippians chapter 3. If you would look with me there, we'll pick up at verse 15. Here Paul declares, "Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even to subdue all things to himself. Now here in these verses, we find Paul, he's encouraging every Christian to realize that we've all been called to embrace the same perspective. We are to have the same mindset. We are to embrace the perspective that Paul was presenting us here in this epistle. Therefore, rather than setting our minds on the earthly things that the false teachers were focused on, rather than setting our minds on the earthly fears that well up in our minds even minute by minute, Paul instructed every Christian instead to maintain an eternal perspective. And we do this by constantly remembering that this earth is not our home. Again, I don't mean to suggest that we need to rush to the end of our lives. And yet, as we live our life, we need to maintain the eternal perspective by remembering that we might have a driver's license here in Austin, Texas, but we are citizens of an everlasting city. We are the citizens of the new Jerusalem, whose builder and maker is God. Therefore, this place, this is not our home. We're just passing through here. And we have to keep this in mind as we maintain a proper perspective. And with that being the case, Paul directed the disciples of Christ to press toward the goal. We are to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And we do this by maintaining the perspective that leads us to look forward to the day when the Lord Jesus will call us into his glorious presence. But until that day comes, those who embrace the perspective that Paul was presenting here, we will learn how to rejoice even when we find ourselves living in lockdown. Let's consider how Paul puts it here in Philippians chapter 4. If you would look with me there at the fourth chapter of Philippians, I want to draw your attention there to Philippians 4, verse 4. Here Paul declares, "Rejoice in the Lord sometimes." Oh, wait, that's not what he said. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Now here in these verses, we find Paul, he's helping his audience to understand how the believer is able to rejoice even in the midst of a lockdown. That's right. The believer is called to rejoice even in the midst of a lockdown. That's what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always, always. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of your situation, we have been called to rejoice always. How do we do this? Well, it's by maintaining a proper perspective. The Christian who maintains a proper perspective can rejoice even when we find ourselves suffering the trials and the troubles of this world. With this as the goal, let's prayerfully present our anxieties to the Lord. That's what he says. Present your anxieties to the Lord. Be anxious for nothing is what he says, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's important to understand that he writes this because he knows we're going to have anxieties. We're going to have anxieties. The question is, what do we do with those anxieties? Do we focus on them? Do we mull them over in our minds? Do we constantly build upon the anxiety so that fear just, increases? Or do we just take those anxieties and present them to the Lord with prayer and supplication and leave those anxieties with Jesus? You know that Jesus can handle all of that way better than we can. I just take my anxieties and I say, "Here, Jesus, these are yours. Well, what are you going to do with the church? That's up to Jesus. Well, how are you going to get by? Well, that's Jesus' problem, you know. And I just have to leave it with Jesus. These are his problems. I'm just going to walk by faith with him. I'm going to leave my anxieties with Jesus and allow him to guide me into his perfect will. I encourage you to do the same. At the same time, let's meditate our minds on those things that are true, noble, just, pure, and lovely. And not only that, but we should also focus on those things that are of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. And as we do these things, we can rest assured that the God of peace is going to be with us. He will give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. And I would love to explain that to you, but it's beyond understanding. It's just peace that God gives us when, you know, everything around us would lead us to think that there would be no peace. And yet God can come along and give us that peace if we would simply give our anxieties over to him and meditate on those things that are centered around Jesus Christ. As we do this, we can just rest in the fact that the God of peace will fill our hearts with his peace. And then that peace will give us the ability to rejoice in all things. Let's consider Paul's example of how this guy who was incarcerated was able to rejoice in all things. Look with me again at Philippians chapter 4. I want to draw your attention to verse 10 where Paul declares, I rejoiced. Here's this guy, he's sitting in prison, he's incarcerated, and yet he's rejoicing. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here in these verses we find Paul, he's rejoicing in the midst of his incarceration. And the reason why, well, it was due to the fact that his joy was not based on his circumstances. You see, if his joy was based on his circumstances, then he would probably find no reason to rejoice. But Paul's joy and his ability to rejoice wasn't based on his circumstances. He learned how to be content in all things. Paul's joy was found in Jesus, and because Jesus always gives us reason to rejoice, Paul was able to rejoice right there in the midst of his incarceration. Paul elaborates on this perspective in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's there where he declares, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I'm certain if I could see your hands and I asked, you know, for an informal survey on, you know, who wants to know the will of God, I'm sure every hand would go up. If you want to know the will of God, well, here it is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. And if we would give thanks to the Lord for everything that he's allowing in our lives, then we will find reason to rejoice even in the midst of this lockdown. Christian, listen, if your joy is found in your relationship with Jesus, then you will always have a reason to rejoice. The reason why is due to the fact that God is always good. God is always good even when our circumstances aren't. Conversely, the Christian who has, you know, their joy in favorable circumstances, well, they're simultaneously allowing an improper perspective to keep them from experiencing the true joy that allows us to rejoice always. If your joy is based upon favorable circumstances, how often will you be happy? How often will you rejoice? Well, not very often. How often does everything work out in your favor? How often do you experience all favorable circumstances? If you're a Christian who struggles to rejoice, then chances are it's because you're finding your joy in favorable circumstances. Paul says to rejoice always. And the only way that we can rejoice always is to make sure that our joy is found in our relationship with Jesus. And if our joy is found in our relationship with Jesus, we will always have reason to rejoice. With that being the case, I want to conclude our study tonight by encouraging every Christian. Let's embrace the perspective that Paul was promoting even during the days of his incarceration. During the days of his lockdown, Paul presented us with a perspective that will help us to rejoice always. And the reason why is because our joy is found in Jesus Christ. Let's embrace the perspective of Paul during this time of lockdown. And as we do, we can rejoice in knowing that the Lord Jesus is here with us and he will guide us into his perfect will. He will lead us as a good shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death. And therefore, we don't have to fear any evil. We know that he's going to guide us to greener pastures. And so let's keep this perspective in mind as we continue to walk by faith with our Savior. And as we do, we can continue to serve him with complete confidence, knowing that he's going to be here to guide us through this time of pandemic until we can come out of this lockdown. Until that day, though, let's walk by faith with Jesus and let's allow him to guide us into his perfect will. Let's pray.